morning is an article, and it's in today's bulletin. If you'd like to read along with me, it's in under Food for Thought, written by Pastor Todd Nybert. And listen to these words carefully. This is so good. In Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, Pastor Todd Nybert, and what a wonderful preacher God has sent us in this man, Todd Nybert. I can't wait till he comes out here again. He comes out, usually goes over to Marysville, and when he does, we love to go over there and listen to him preach. He's just a really good preacher. He writes this about those words. There are only two kinds of people in the world, the righteous and the wicked. Interestingly, the righteous believe themselves to be wicked. That is why they need the gospel. And the wicked believe themselves to be righteous. And that is why they do not need the gospel. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord has caused you and I to need His gospel? Turn, if you would, please, once again to the book of Colossians. Last week I introduced what I believe is going to be a series of messages that I would like to bring from the letter written by the Apostle Paul, addressed to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, as it is written in chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. This is a letter that Paul wrote to them. And the title for today's message is Faithful Brethren in Christ. Now you don't need to turn there, but in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's a profit. It's profitable to you and I. It's something we need. For reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This letter was written to you and I, as well as all of the saints and the faithful brethren that were in Christ, that have ever have, and that ever will be, walking this earth. All of the faithful, all of those who God Almighty has given the gift of faith, throughout all time, of course they didn't have it before in the Old Testament, but since the New Testament was written, for all that time, this letter is to all of God's saints, everywhere. All of the faithful brethren, faithful brethren in Christ. All of those who are in Christ. Throughout all time until the Lord comes again. In 2 Peter 3, verses 18, we read this: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:17, it goes this way: so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then in Romans 10:17, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift of faith, the gift to believe, comes through the preaching of God's word. Paul is thanking God the Father in verse 3 of our Lord Jesus Christ and praying always for you. You know, I can't express in words again that phrase. I said it a few moments ago, but it's so true. Of how thankful I am that God brings anybody to this church at all. Amen. I am so thankful for you folks who want to hear the gospel every week. Because that's all I'm going to preach. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you about some guy named St. Patrick who went around Europe building churches. I heard a guy preach that one time from the church up in Pollock Pines. I'm not going to stand up here and pretend to be preaching to you about a group of young folks in the church who've gotten together and done such a good deed about raising money for an ambulance of a town in a town down in Mexico. Now, those folks down there, they needed that ambulance bad. And I'm thankful those kids did that. But that's not what this is. This is a worship service for God Almighty. We come here to worship our Savior. To declare Him to be our God. King of kings. Lord of lords. Ruler over everything. Over us. We were talking about that in Bible study. You know, there was a time when each and every one of us ruled ourselves with our own will. We walked around thinking, this is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do it. And then God arrested that old stony heart, cut it away, and He gave us a new heart that says, He is my Lord. I do what He tells me to do. I am guided by my Savior, as all things are in this world are guided by Him. That includes my mistakes. And I make a lot of them. Every day. That's why I have to go to my Lord every day and ask for forgiveness for my sins. Confessing my sins to Him, He will be faithful in forgiving them. That's what He tells me. This gift of faith, gift to believe, it comes through the preaching of God's Word, and God's Word is one thing. From cover to cover, it's all about Jesus. Five men are going to come to this church 2 weeks from last Friday night. One of those five is me. I'm going to preach Friday night. But then I'm going to sit down, and the Lord's going to feed me the bread of life through four other men, and all five of us will preach the same message. If I thought for 1 minute one of those men would preach something foolish as children raising money or St. Patrick or whatever, I would not let them stand here. But I've heard them speak. I've listened to their words, and they preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what God's Word is all about. He who became flesh and walked perfectly, fulfilling the laws of God in every way. Could He have done it anything less than perfectly? He's God Almighty in the flesh, right? Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. He fulfilled the law in every way, and He walked righteously, perfectly, without sin, establishing a righteousness for an unrighteous people. There's me. And then taking the sins of His chosen people upon Himself, God the Father made His Son, who knew no sin, to be sin, that this people who were chosen of God would be made righteous in Him. Do you know when the first story of blood came? God Almighty slew an animal. Killed an animal so that He could take the skins of that animal and clothe the two who had sinned, Adam and Eve. That's a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right from the beginning of the book. His righteousness, His blood covers our sins completely. If you try to make a fig leaf and do it on your own, you're still going to look naked. Have you ever seen those people walk down through a hospital and they got one of them garments on, you know, that tie up in the back? There was a movie about that. James Garner, I think, was in it. And the lady was walking down and he's pointed it out, and next thing you know, she's like, "Oh, no." Well, that's what happens when you wrap yourself up with a fig leaf. You're still naked. Thank God he sent someone to clothe us. To clothe us in his own righteousness. All of our sins were laid upon him when he was crucified. When he died for us, he died that we would live. The elect of God, those whose names are written in the book of life, those whose names were written before the world was made, we all live in Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. The faithful brethren, not to those who are faithfully walking around being as good as you can, but to those who are faithful in Christ. You see, it is in Christ that things matter to you and I. If you count on me for anything, I'm going to let you down. But you can count on Christ in me to be true. We live because death could not hold him. Death cannot hold the creator of all that is. The grave could not hold him. In John 10:17, we read it this way. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. And then he says in verse 18, and you can't argue this. You can't say, this means something else. This is plain. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. That's God's word from his own mouth. Our substitute is the very one who sits on his throne of all glory right now, ruling over every detail, so much so that he knows the number of every hair on our head. And he's working all things out according to the counsel of his will. He's not some puny God waiting for men. He is the ruler of everything. And I like that. That's why we have confidence. There's nothing to doubt. We don't have any reason to doubt. He's God. Those sins were put away. He says so in his word. He says, I did it. Not John Reeves. I, the Lord Jesus, says, I did it. He says, it is finished. Turn to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. He says, I did it. In verses 1 of chapter 8 of Romans, we read this. There is therefore now no condemnation. You can't charge that one. You've already charged me. I've already paid the debt. This one's mine. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then we read over in verses 28 through 30, and we know our confidence is in God's Word, because our Lord and Savior is God Almighty Himself. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's our confidence. He did it. He says, I did that. He says, I did that for you, each and every one of us. And if God did it, can anybody undo it? That's the greatest peace John has, because all my screw-ups that I need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for, can't undo the love that my Lord has for me. Is that good news for you? Because that's the way it is with every one of God's children. Everyone for whom He hung on that cross, bled and died and was raised again for, have that peace. Paul spoke these words of encouragement to these faithful saints, that they would remain in the hope of the gospel, which is seen over in verse 23. That's what we preached about last week. The hope of the gospel. The true gospel. The only gospel. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified. Don't be led astray. Don't be led astray by tinkling brass, as the Word of God calls it. Things that sparkle. Ooh. You know what that church up there is doing? Man, they're doing such good stuff. They're feeding the poor. They're raising all this money for people who need it. They have a kitchen to feed everybody. Folks, I'm not putting them down for that. That's all good stuff, but that is not the gospel. That is not what gets us saved. Christ Jesus and His blood shed on the cross is what saves us. And too many people in the world are trying to make it that good deeds that they're doing. And it becomes enticing to people. I know someone who could not come to this church anymore several years back. Why? Well, there's just not enough there for me. I need more. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified is not good enough. I need something I can do. I need something to keep me busy. And then they went off to that church that kept them busy, and then they would come back every once in a while, just every once in a while, and they'd say, well, I'd say, well, what brings you back? Well, you know, it's kind of like eating a Twinkie up there. It's sweet, but it's not good for you. I come here once in a while to get a little meat. I swear that's what they told me. She's shaking her head because she was there with me when they said it. Eventually, they stopped coming at all. It got to a point where the meat here left a bad taste in their mouth. Folks, you don't come here to hear John Reeves give you my opinion on stuff. The faithful saints of God come to God's churches to hear about our Lord and Savior. Paul spoke these words to encourage the faithful saints. The true gospel, the only gospel, the gospel of Christ being crucified. Do not be led astray by the wonders of this world, the sparkling attractions of the flesh. Do not be led astray by those who wish to make lasciviousness of God's grace. That's what it warns us about in the book of Jude. The word lasciviousness means to take the truths of God's grace and add lies to it. Oh yeah, God rules over everything, but He leaves it up to you to make a decision. He leaves that part of salvation up to you. That's lasciviousness of God's grace. That's taking God's loving grace that is so perfect we cannot even understand it, and making it a lie. Making it wickedness. Anything other than God's truth is a wicked lie. That's what free will teaching is. Oh, it's your free will. You need to make a decision. You need to walk down to the aisle. You need to get into the baptismal. You need to take of the cup. You need to worship on Saturdays. You need to do this. You need to exercise your free will. That's what free willism is. It's teaching lies of God's grace. In Romans 9:16, this will prove it. Listen. You think I'm up here just making an opinion of my own? Listen to what God's word says. So then it is not of him that willeth, in Romans 9:16. That means it's not of your will. Isn't that what that means? Can you argue that? No, it sounds, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. That's the works. In other words, your good deeds aren't going to get you anything. It's not of your free will, and it's not of your works, but of God that showeth mercy. To say that it is your decision to love God is to make that and many verses like it into a lie. We must, folks, we must guard ourselves as faithful saints from those who bring works of the law and dilute the teachings of grace. This very church right here used to be 100 membership. Kathy and I have gone through some of the pictures. Did you know they had 40 kids out here? Or, well, I don't know, 40. It sure looked like it, didn't it? There was a big old huge group of kids. There was at least 5 children in that nursery at a time on most Sundays. And those other little rooms that we have now sectioned off for guests and stuff like that, those were for teenage kids and primary school kids. They had 3 different, teenagers, first through sixth, and then kindergarten. So there's 3 different classes. And then the adult class over here, of course. The church split. 5 families said, Pastor Gene, you can't be our pastor anymore. Stuff is going on in your life. You're a sinner like the rest of us. You're not on that table like you're supposed to be. You need to be out of here. And he said, no, I'm not going. Do you know the pastor has a right to do that? That happened over in Wayne Boyd's church here just recently, 6 months ago. Half the church got up and said, you can't be the pastor anymore. Why? You're not preaching the gospel. He sent the messages out to 7 different, or 5 different, I think it was, I don't know how many. He sent the messages out to some other pastors, Todd Nybert and some other ones, Terry. And they all listened. They said, we don't understand what you people are saying. He's preaching Christ and him crucified. He said, okay, fine. You're fired. He says, you can't fire me. He said, all right, we're leaving. He's still there. They left. The ones who split from this church, and I'm going to have to say this on recollection of what Bill has shared with me, went off and started another church. Bill actually was there for a little while, and he found out, he figured it out eventually, that it was all works. That's what that's talking about. It's not of works. Paul is writing to the Colossians, warning them of these very ones. These ones who will sneak in. These ones who will come in with their religion of works and try to bound us. Try to bind us down with works religion. Henry Mahan puts the introduction to this letter this way. He says, this letter to the church of Colossae was written about 30 years after Christ died on the cross. Paul wrote it while imprisoned in Rome, about the same time that he wrote to Philippians and the Ephesians churches. Who brought the gospel of Colossae, we do not know. But for Paul had never preached to them. The city was destroyed 6 years later by an earthquake and later rebuilt. But what we do know is that the occasion for the letter was that Epaphras, who had preached to them, that's what we read about down here in verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who preached to them, came to Rome. And he told Paul about their faith and their love. He also reported the danger, their danger from false teachers who had come among them, Judaizers, who urged the ceremonies of the law, and Gentiles who promoted philosophy. Those who were the worship of angels and saints, will worship and punishing the body. And Paul wrote to them to confirm them in the gospel of Christ, to warn them of spiritual error, and to exhort them to discharge the discharge of their duty to God and to one another and to all men. End of quote. So now with that in mind, let's take a closer look at verses 1 through 12, and it'll go kind of quickly. We won't go too long this morning. We are going to come to the table afterwards. I've only got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more pages. In verses 1 through 6, read along with me if you would. Let's actually, you know what, let's do this. Let's read 1 through 12 all the way through, and then we'll come back and do a cursory look at it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Excuse me a minute. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, let's take a look. Let's consider for just a moment what we read in verse 1 through 6. Believers, true believers of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, are earnestly exhorted and boldly and faithful to hold to the stand by and to contend for all that pertains to faith. Folks, I'm telling you right now, that was a lot for me to say in one verse, in one sentence. But it's not going to be easy. Our Lord has preordained men to come into churches. Those men who came into this church, those five families, they were big families, were preordained to be in this church. We believe that God rules over everything, right? In the book of Jude, it declares the men who sneak into the church, come in cunningly and craftily, are preordained. Let me read that real quick so I read it correctly. For there are certain men crept in unawares to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that, talks about men who sneak in, they come in as ravenous wolves. It's not going to be easy for our enemies without and within the church, who are motivated by Satan and by their own wicked nature, to seek to pervert and compromise and destroy the true and only gospel, the gospel of redeeming grace, as it was purchased and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says to them, he says, we give thanks to God in verse 3. Folks, God's people give thanks to God for everything. I worry about what's going on down there in Washington, just as you do. But I give thanks to my Lord and Savior, even for President Clinton or Obama or whoever that guy is going to be there next. I don't think it's the guy, to be honest with you. I think he's going to go away real quick and we're going to have a woman president really fast. We give thanks to God for everything because it's His will, for all things are of God. That is our salvation, faith, hope, love, everything about us. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Every spiritual gift, he says that in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Every spiritual gift is from God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in John 3:27. He thanked God for their faith in verse 4. Without faith, there is no union with Christ. There could be no benefit from Christ if you don't have faith in Him. How are you going to have faith in Him that you don't know? He thanked God for their love in verse 4. For their love for one for another. You see, love for the brethren is evidence of the faith. Love is the fruit of faith. Our Lord tells us that the absence of love reveals the absence of God. Read 1 John 4:8 when you have time. He says in verse 5, he says, I thank God for your hope. You see, the believer's inheritance is not in his hands yet. We don't have the perfection that we are promised yet. We still have to battle this flesh with our spirit. Our spirit is as holy as Christ Himself, absolutely. But our flesh has enough sin to condemn us every second. Our inheritance is not in our hands yet. We have it in hope. Our hope is as certain, though, as the purpose of the Father. The atonement of the Son, the witness of the Spirit, it is still a hope. However, until it becomes a reality, we have little to expect or to hope for of this world. But here's the deal. If God gave His only begotten Son for us, how shall He not give us all things? It is the gospel that is God's instrument to beget faith and hope in the heart of His people. In verse 6, after mentioning the gospel, Paul begets faith, or after he mentions it in beginning faith and hope and love, he says this. He says, it came to you. It didn't come, you didn't come to it. God sent it to you. He is found of those who sought Him not, is what the Word says in Romans 10:20. He also tells them that the gospel bringeth forth fruit. We read in Isaiah 55:11, and it brings forth fruit of faith, love, joy, peace. We are new creatures in Christ. If you planted a seed and nothing grew up, would you go back and watch that seed? No. The seed of Christ brings and breeds love, joy, peace, and faith. The gospel continues to produce fruit. Since the day you heard the gospel, he says, and knew the grace of God, it has brought forth fruit. In verses 7 and 8, we read, having confirmed the gospel, Paul commends the preacher. He is commended for being a fellow servant of Christ with Paul. He is praised for being a faithful minister of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He is commended for his respect for the people and for he declared their love and faith in Christ to Paul. Is it not a good sign when someone comes to you and says, I know that person is a child of God, that's all they speak about. I know those four other preachers coming here are children of God, preachers of God, because I have heard them speak. And I'm telling you, they will speak of Christ. And if they start talking about something else, I'll get up out of the chair and tell them to leave. Seriously. We'd be fighting. But I don't think that'd happen. He commends these men for their respect. This man for his respect for the children of God. For he declared their love in Christ. It's always a good sign when one speaks well of those who are absent. Now, we covered verses 9 through 12 in a pretty good detail last week, so allow me to close with this. Folks, we are talking about the faithful saints in Christ. God's chosen people. Those of us who were chosen in Christ before the world was made. We're talking about the faithful saints in Christ, these who believe because God the Father hath revealed the truths of God to dead sinners. We read in Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, are? Who do you say he is? Who is he to you in your conversation in the world? Is he everything? Is he the glorious King that he is to you in your own personal heart? Is he a glorious Savior as he is to you in your own personal heart? Who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or maybe one of the prophets. Then he turned and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to our Lord's words next. Listen carefully. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou. Blessed art thou. Blessed art thou. I'm not blessing you. The Lord Jesus Christ blessed you. God Almighty blessed you. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Faithful brethren in Christ, the very ones that this letter is written to you. Those of you who have had the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, and where he is now, and who he did it for. Do you see how God has blessed you? Oh, I'm telling you, the more I read that, the more I just jump for, whew, you know, not really, because it would hurt if I actually jumped, but in my heart. That's such good news that John the Baptist jumped in his mother's womb when he heard it. And she thought he was just kicking because he wanted out. Scripture says he jumped. He jumped with joy. Faithful saints are faithful in one way and only one way. Do not look to your flesh for your faithfulness. We are faithful in Christ. All of our faith is in him and of him. All of our love for the brethren is in him and of him. All of our hope is in him and of him. If we look to this flesh we walk in, we will find nothing but failure. Nothing but disappointment. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you belong to Christ, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, His promises are sure, His word is true, and His love is absolute. Now I ask you, do you belong to Jesus? That'll be our closing song this morning.